Country Club FM.
Let's go with the Bob Almanac today, Wednesday, and we have two Almanac salutes. Two people have passed away, and they get salutes. I can tell you right now, it's going to be a red letter day here today. Blue ribbon winning day for TV themes.
Yeah, this is one of the greats. I did see this with this gentleman pass.
Yeah, the last surviving member of the Mod Squad has passed away. Michael Cole, who was Pete, right, Neil?
Yeah, Pete, Julian Link.
Yeah. Show was on late 60s, early 70s. He was 84.
I watched it.
He was 84. Representative for him says he died in Los Angeles on Tuesday, surrounded by loved ones. And no cause of death reported. But Michael Cole of the Mod Squad, now gone but not forgotten. Boy, Tige Andrews, he was really good too. Remember him?
For sure. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, he was the boss.
And then also dead at 89.
You're looking out at 7 of clubs?
Yeah, I am.
9 of diamonds?
Yes, I am, Kreskin.
I can't get it. It's a club. It's either an 8 or a 9. Which is it?
Well, you tell me, big shot.
Letterman with the amazing Kreskin.
I don't know.
I dropped Kreskin.
I think it's an
8
of clubs.
It is an
8
of clubs.
Dave, do you have in your hand two kings which are near each other?
Yes, I do, Kreskin.
Take out the ace of diamonds that's between them.
Oh, look at that. How does he do that? Look, there they are, right there between.
King of spades, king of hearts.
Was the amazing Kreskin. He passed away at the age of 89. The beloved mentalist who was on the Mike Douglas Show, the Merv Griffin Show, Tonight Show, and then there you have him on Letterman. And he passed away. He's at the age of 89, his family said in a social media post. The only thing the amazing Kreskin cared about was performing for all of you. It brought so much joy to his life.
He was amazing, for sure. He lived up to his billing.
You bet. You know it. I mean, if you put the amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Right.
The amazing Mets. I mean, you put amazing or amazing in your title, I think you better live up to that.
Yeah, the pressure's on.
It is.
Point.
So the amazing Kreskin, also now gone but not forgotten. Wednesday, December 11th, 346th day of the year. This is the date that Aurora came into view, as Flock of Seagulls once said. Aurora came into view this date, really first recorded. Obviously, it had happened before.
Right.
But this is the first recorded sighting of the Aurora Borealis. And we've had a lot of those, the Northern Lights. We've had a lot of that here the last several months, you know, the summer and into the fall. And you go, oh, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. So, a lot, you know, that means a lot of solar activity.
Right.
We are being bombarded by solar particles, and it's reacting with our upper atmosphere and causing the Aurora Borealis.
And speaking of solar, just like 10 minutes ago, it was snowing and cloudy and and now the sun is shining right in my eyes. I can barely see my screen. So
you
if
had
I
a squall,
lose my
Neil.
Place.
Neil, you had a squall.
Yeah, we had a squall.
Squall and, along the Yukon.
So if I lose my place here, bear with me.
Okay, well, very good. So the first recorded sighting of the Aurora Borealis Northern Lights took place in New England. That was the state 1719. 1844, first dental use. They used it for so many other things. Used to be able to get some at the saloon. The first dental use of nitrous oxide. You remember you used to belly up to the bar and say, give me some nitrous.
Right. Yeah, I'll have a nickel's worth of nitrous.
And then they realized, as people were getting, you know, well, they were passing out at the bar from the nitrous oxide, well, we could use this in other applications, including dental work. So that was the state in Hartford, Connecticut.
Is that laughing gas?
Yes, it is. That is basically the laughing gas, yes. 1941, Italy and Germany declared war on the U.S., and in turn, the U.S. declared war on both.
Yeah.
Just a couple of days after Pearl Harbor.
Sure.
Which, because of the weekend, we missed that on the Almanac. Didn't get to mention that. Also, the death of John Lennon happened over the weekend as well.
That's right.
In New York, 1980. And I'm pretty sure if we had that on the Almanac, I think every year I use the Howard Cosell Monday Night Football announcement. dead on arrival, his delivery of that. Yeah. So let's move on to 1951.
Yankee Stadium won't be the same picture without that glove and the man behind the glove. Joe DiMaggio announces his retirement after 13 seasons with the Yanks. His bosses, Topping and Webb, and his manager, Casey Stengel.
He had to give up. He had coffee makers to endorse and to sell. I mean, they were that was early days of Mr. Coffee. He was selling them out of the back of his car, out of his trunk.
And he had missed a couple of years with World War II.
He did. Yes, he did. Think about his numbers. He and Ted Williams and their others
Ted Williams.
Also, yeah.
Huge.
Joe, it's Jolting Joe is what he was.
Yeah.
And he announced
his Yankee
retirement.
Clipper.
This date back in 51, 57.
The reporter followed up, figured out Myra was 13, figured out she was his cousin, and that Jerry Lee Lewis wasn't actually even divorced from his second wife. Yeah.
Was those are all the ingredients for scandal, Neil. Very scandalous. 1957.
He really didn't give a darn about nothing.
I don't think he did. He's shooting people in his office.
He's
more worried about the white carpeting than his bassist that he just shot because he fired him.
A loose cannon.
He was the killer, and he wasn't the killer for nothing. Jerry Lee Lewis secretly married his 13-year-old third cousin, Myra Gail Brown, on this date.
While he was still married.
And the marriage caused Lewis to be blacklisted from many radio stations, was dropped from Dick Clark shows. Dick Clark would not stand for that.
No.
Dick Clark was wholesome. You know, he said no to payola, and he said no to incest. That's the stand Dick Clark took.
I say those are pretty solid foundations.
They certainly are. 1964 this date.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang all day long. They're
saying. That's great, Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke was so good, and he was tragically shot to death. At the Hacienda Motel in Los Angeles, California, this date in 1964. I can't remember the story. Somebody was barricaded or something, and I can't remember how it happened. I wish I would have looked it up. We've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember barricading something in the motel, whether he was the targeted one or not. But it was tragic. We just had Otis Redding yesterday. And it's funny because I was looking up Otis Redding and then Sam Cooke info and videos and stuff was coming up at the same time on Sam Cooke's death. It was a few years earlier than Otis Redding, but that was his state. I mean, it's very similar to Marvin Gaye, but Marvin Gaye was shot by his dad.
Horrible. Just horrible.
Yeah. So that was in 64. How about this one? A little more lighthearted.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Yeah, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. It has spawned TV specials and movies, and it was released on this date by Elmo and Patsy.
Huh.
Grandma got run over. You know, there are people actually that are offended by that song, but you know who the people who aren't offended are the grandmas. They get a kick out of it.
Yeah, they.
The grandmas
do.
Love it. It's other people, you know, are just upset by it, and it's all in good fun. Unless your grandma actually got run over by a reindeer, I guess then it might not be all in good fun. But I would think that
number is a pretty low number.
I'd like to see documented proof of it actually happening in real life.
Yes.
I know that Mrs. Claus once got grazed by a reindeer.
But she's
not run over or impaled or anything by the antlers, certainly. There was really no injury. I don't even think the doctor got involved.
Those big racks can get in the way.
The guy who wrote that, yes, indeed, the guy who wrote that song was Randy Brooks. Now, this is how he wrote it. He heard the Merle Haggard song, Grandma's Christmas Card, back in like 1977. He heard Grandma's Christmas Card by Merle, and he thought, you know, it would be funny maybe to do one and take a kind of a takeoff on that, but do it about the death of a grandmother during Christmas. So he thought to himself, well, how would Grandma die at Christmas time? Well, Santa sleigh. Well, let's go with the reindeer. And the rest is history, of course.
Wow. Yeah, pretty good.
Did I say it was going to be a good day for TV themes? debuted on this date on CBS in 1980. Neil, what can you say about Magnum P.I.? It made Tom Selleck a hero and a big star.
Right. I was going to say he would. That would be the springboard to his career. And the guy could do it all from a private eye in Hawaii to the grizzled cowboy in the westerns he did. He's one of my favorites. And I enjoyed Magnum P.I. for sure. A good cast of characters.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and certainly the mustache. Did you mention Higgins and T.C.?
No, they're part of the cast of characters.
They certainly are.
I was a big fan of T.C. flew the helicopter.
And that helicopter was obviously also a property of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, doing the color scheme.
The color scheme was very Vancouver Canucks, and they're wearing the flying V. So 1980, Magnum P.I. debuts on CBS. 1981.
At 236 pounds, three times the former heavyweight champion in the world, Muhammad Ali!
The last time that Muhammad Ali would be introduced, his last fight this day, 1981. Probably shouldn't have done it. Probably, obviously, well past his prime, Neil. But you just can't keep a good old champ down. Going into that fight, 56-4. So that was his 61st and final fight. He was 56-4 in his boxing career. 36 knockouts for the greatest.
Yeah, he was something special for sure.
And of course, all of these fights at this time, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they give it a title.
Right.
Thrilla in Manila. This was the drama.
Rumble in the Jungle.
Yes, this was the drama in Bahama. Because they were in the Bahamas.
Yeah, sure.
It was in Nassau of the Bahamas, 1981.
Yes.
So 1985, this is the date that General Electric agreed to buy RCA. The RCA Corporation, $6.3 billion. Of course, at the time, RCA... For years, they were the owners and operators of NBC Radio and TV. And, of course, nobody handled and was more excited about GE buying NBC than David Letterman. And he wanted just to show his gratitude.
No, come on. You know, we just wanted to come over and say hello. We're going to be working together. And we want to get everything off on the right foot. We have this lovely basket of fruit. So do you mind if we come? Hi, what is your name?
We received the letter.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but we didn't give authorization.
Uh-huh. We just can't, you mean we need authorization to drop off a fruit basket?
Yes.
To drop off a fruit basket?
Yes, you need authorization.
Oh, this is going to be fun to work with these people, isn't it? To drop off a fruit basket, you need paperwork.
Excuse me, give me a minute and I'll be right back.
Double dose of Letterman. It just doesn't get any better than that.
I remember watching that.
He went to the GE building and they denied him at the door with a fruit basket.
Oh, these people are going to be fun to work with.
1985.
It's a great bit.
The same day.
I'm the punky QB known as McMahon. When I hit the turf, I've got no plan. I just throw my body all over the field. I can't dance, but I can throw the field. I motivate the cats, I like to tease. I play so cool, I aim to please. That's why you all got here on the double to catch me doing the Super Bowl shuffle.
Remember that? The Chicago Bears kind of started a trend. Every team that had, was the dominant team of that particular year had to go out and do a song and a video. The Super Bowl shuffle. The thing is 5.5 minutes long. That's way too long.
Way too long.
But you're dealing with football players. It's a big roster. You know, how many guys they have? 50 guys on the roster when you include the practice squad. And and there's a lot of ego. So everybody had to get their lines. Backup quarterback Steve Fuller even had to get some lines. So you know it's going to be 5.5 minutes.
If you're into that.
The backup long snapper has to have a verse. So that was this date in 85. And then 2012. Are there any songs in our library that have the sitar?
I don't know of any, no.
And you know, if you stand up, it's no longer a sitar. So you have to sit down to play this thing. It's a beautiful instrument. And of course, Ravi Shankar is the master of the sitar. He's the one who taught George Harrison how to play it. He died this date in 2012 at the age of 92. Ravi, Ravi Shankar.
Huh. Right.
So there you go. Hey, remember doing a quiz for Diamond Rio tickets, okay? Remember that, Neil? You got that
on
the docket?
I am locked in.
You still locked in on that?
I'm actually planning on calling in today.
Well, we'll be able to.
If I know the answer.
Okay, you better just get ready to disguise your voice.
I can do that.
That guy, Bob Olson, tried that the other day, and I caught him on it. Our good buddy there at the PSAs. Yeah. Birthdays.
Hey, you guys!
Rita Moreno is 93, won an Oscar for a role in West Side Story, Emmys, Up and Down, and there she is from the Electric Company. She was on the Electric Company.
That was an iconic, hey, use guy. Everybody used that at some point.
Yeah. And, of course, Morgan Freeman was on the Electric Company as well. That's some pretty good talent. I don't know what they were paying those people.
Sure.
They were paying them with something or other. And I don't know if it was cash. Because I don't know if you knew this. PBS doesn't have a whole lot of money. At least they tell us they don't. Because they're always asking for some.
That's what they say.
They're always asking for some. Somebody's got some money in there somehow. But Rita Moreno, 93. It is going
to be, that's a good run for her.
Yeah, it really is. Here's that other TV theme that we've been talking about, Neil. This is a good one here. I think you're going to like it. It's you take a bunch of Ewings, take them off the plantation, you take them off the farm, the ranch, from the oil derrick, and you put them in a cul-de-sac. What do you get? You get Knott's Landing. And Donna Mills was on Knott's Landing. Never got into that one. Dallas was kind of more my speed.
I was dating a girl that had to, every Thursday night, what are we doing? Well, we're watching Knott's Landing. Yeah. Oh, goody.
Oh, goody.
And, but Donna Mills was in one of my favorite two-part episodes of Gunsmoke, of course.
Well, that was nice. What was it? Yeah. What was the plot? Do you remember?
It was with, her father, Morgan Woodward, who was in 20, so next to Victor French and Claude Akins. He was in more than anybody. It was her father home from prison because he had got caught robbing a bank or a stage and had some money supposedly stashed away. And that was his daughter. She was his daughter.
Mm.
So he shows up from prison and comes into her house.
There you go.
And two guys he was in prison with thought she knew where the money was and kind of tried to, I don't want to say beat it out of her, but cut off her beautiful blonde hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a very difficult two-part episode for Donna Mills.
Sounds like a wrestling match with Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
It was very similar.
Donna Mills, 84 today. Now this.
The finest years I ever knew for all the years I had with you. And I would give
the voice of Bread.
One of my favorites.
A lot of crumbs on the floor of that studio, and Bread would show up, start recording their hits. Everything I Own, David Gates, 84. We might be getting TV theme overload today because...
Never. Oh, well.
Because we also have this one, because Linda Day George, who was Agent Casey, Mission Impossible.
Right. And, of course, a starring role in Chisholm with John Wayne.
Good to know.
She was married to one of John Wayne's best buddies, Christopher George.
Yes, exactly.
From Rat Patrol.
80
and also was in Chisholm.
80.
All alone am I ever since you.
Little Miss Dynamite, you hear her a lot during this time of the year with her rocking around the Christmas tree. We heard that was back atop the charts or on the charts or something.
It's so
legendary.
Good.
Brenda Lee is 80 today, the third most famous Jackson. Jermaine. Because you got Michael, and then it's Janet, and then I think Jermaine is third.
He was, I think, 4 years older than Michael.
Poor Marlon is way down the list, to be honest. So Jermaine Jackson, believe it or not, is 70.
Second baseman Jay Bell blasted one of the homers off by 11, and he did it on the first pitch thrown to him in the majors. The 11th player in history to do that, and 55th to homer in his first big league at bat.
So that's Jay Bell. former draft pick. The reason I mention this, I mean, he was kind of a journeyman Major League Baseball player. He was the manager of the Rocket City Trash Pandas of the Southern League. And the funny thing about that, he hit a home run off of Burt Blyleven, first pitch he ever saw in the majors after the Twins gave up on him because he committed way too many errors. They actually traded him to Cleveland. He was part of the trade along with Neil Heaton, and I think there was some other player in there from the Twins to the Indians to get Burt Blyleven in 80, end of the 85 season.
Right.
And he was in the trade, and then he hits his first ever home run against
Burt Blyleven. Yeah. That was good. What was the name of the team that he managed? That was an interesting...
They were the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Trash Pandas. Okay.
Yes, the Trash Pandas. Okay. Our rapper of the day is Mos Def, who's 51. And actress and singer, you've been listing off all these great movies and shows here today.
Right. I don't think you're going to do it.
What do you think now?
Oh, one of my short ribs broken.
You killed my father when he was trying to help you. I have one of the gold pieces you stole from him. Now give me the other.
This is going right for me.
Betty!
I'm down here!
Now I'm shot by a child.
Betty is taken into custody.
Yeah, she's Maddie. She was the new Maddie in the new True Grit.
With Jeff Bridges.
Haley Steinfeld, who just...
She did a nice job in that.
Yeah, she was pitch perfect, too. She just got the... she's going to get married to Josh Allen.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
The quarterback?
Yes. They just got engaged.
I didn't know that.
They just got engaged. Haley Steinfeld, 28, here today.
Very cool. Yeah. Look at that. Look what we learned today. That's very tremendous. Cool. All right. We wish them well. Gone but not forgot. We got a lot of businessmen today. It was TV theme day, and it's also businessmen day. John Labatt. John Labatt, born on this day, 1838. He established the Labatt Brewing Company. But very popular, of course, north of the border. Inventor James Kraft. Yeah, who else would, you know, be the guy to invent the pasteurizing success of and process for cheese for the Kraft Company?
Powdered
1874.
Cheese. Powdered cheese.
Make some Kraft macaroni and cheese, please. Please make some Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's nice and cheesy and it's really pretty easy. Please make some Kraft macaroni and cheese.
K-R-A-F-T. Remember they used to end their commercials that way too.
I hope everybody has some Kraft macaroni and cheese in their pantry right now. And of course they've gone from powdered to the packaged. Which is, I think, superior. 1874 for James Kraft. And businessman Walter Knott of the Knott's Berry Farm fame was born on this day, 1889. Little Lulu creator Marjorie Buell,
little
1904.
Little Lulu with freckles on your chin. Always in and out of trouble, but mostly always in. Using daddy's necktie for the tail of your kite. Using mommy's lipstick for the letters you write. Though the clock says 7:30, it's
classic cartoon theme time.
There it is. I kind of preferred Pippi Longstockings. But Little Lulu, born on this Marjorie Buell created and was born on this day, 1904. Blues musician Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, 1926.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog when snooping round my door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog when snooping.
Give Elvis a run for his money there.
Well, she did it before Elvis. This is kind of the original.
Yes.
But I ain't gonna feed you no.
There it is. That's Big Mama, born on this day, 1926. And we lost her not very long ago. And
weeks.
Certainly, we just enjoyed the heck out of her work. The great Terry Garr, 1944.
Oh, hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay? It's fun. Roll, roll, roll in the hay. Roll.
Such a great part in that movie. Young Frankenstein.
She did very, very well. Yeah, that's Frankenstein. Terry Garr, fine actress. Young Frankenstein, Mr. Mom, Tootsie, and many others. Born on this day, 1944. Sadly, she and all the rest are gone, but not forgotten.
For the second week in a row, the scoring punch was provided on three Fred Cox field goals. The defense added a safety for an 11-3 Minnesota win, proving a wise Viking
save. An exciting 11-3 victory at Met Stadium for the Vikings over the Packers in 1973. Freddie the Foot.
Oh, yes.
Your staff forgot Freddie the Foot, who we lost in 2019, the inventor of the Nerf football.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well for him.
It was his idea, and also he was the inspiration for
the sporadic Viking kicking game. The sporadic Viking kicking game.
Fred Cox, straightaway kickers. Those straightaway kickers, in their defense, they weren't nearly as accurate and consistent. That's just the way it was, that style.
I mentioned this before when I was, 12, 11. I wanted to know how to send a death threat. I was not happy with Fred Cox.
Wow.
For missing a chip shot against the Bears that cost us a victory.
Mm.
And I was beyond displeased. And, it was probably one of the low moments in my childhood when I asked my mom and dad to send a death threat.
Good thing
and
they didn't call.
Looking back on it, it seems extreme.
Good thing that the FBI didn't come knocking at your door. That would have been really rough. All right, so now
I didn't take losses very well, as you could tell.
Now they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Yes.
The Diamond Rio tickets are available right now for you. Would you like to answer this question? You can. Rita Moreno's birthday today is 93. She had a famous catchphrase from the Electric Company children's show.
Oh, yeah.
It was three words. What were those three words? What is that iconic kind of saying, if you will?
Some more plural than they usually were.
So Rita Moreno, that was 93 for her today. Happy birthday to her. And what was her catchphrase from the Electric Company? 763-450-0100. Up for grabs. Diamond Rio, Mayo Civic Center, Rochester. A week from Thursday, December 19th. Good luck. Would you like to start a Bobathon? Good luck to you, Neil, with the Bobathon. No repeat workday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tracy Lawrence, Renegades, Rebels, and Rogues. Be My Baby Tonight, JMM, or the Oak Ridge Boys. Y'all come back saloon.
Oak Ridge Boys.
WQPM Princeton. WLKX Forest Lake. KDDG Albany. KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud. KDGY Faribault. KLCI Elk River. KLCI HD1.